I know the topic tonight has been being fuller of the Spirit of God, or presence of God, the anointing of God. I want to look at one scripture, and if I don't do anything but read this passage of scripture, it's in Luke chapter 2, and it's verse number 52. And all of us, we ought to want to strive to be more like Christ. He is our ultimate example. And in the scriptures there, in Luke's gospel, chapter number 52, it says these words: "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man." I just want to pray just a moment. Father, I just pray right now that we would be receptive to the word that's already been spoken here tonight. Lord, there's been the thought given through passages of scripture of how that we have your anointing, and how we have your presence, and how we have the gifts. And Lord, even there's the produce or the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, that's been even in some of the passages, Lord, that have been shared by Sister Marcia. Lord, we just ask tonight, dear Father, that you would just give us an encounter, the time that we're in worship tonight, Lord, that the body of Christ around the world would be edified. Lord, we pray tonight if there's needs, Lord, that there would be man in individuals' lives. Lord, if their relationship with you is not where it needs to be, Lord, we ask right now for the wooing of the Spirit of the living God. And Lord, we just pray that that individual would just begin to talk to you, Lord, just as we're talking to those that may be watching by social media right now or listening. Lord, we just ask right now, even there in the Philippines, Lord, we know that, I believe her name was Alicia, is watching. We just pray, Lord, for her to be ministered to, and there's others tonight. But Lord, we just ask right now, Father, oh, hallelujah, for your word just to come alive in us, Lord, in a greater way every day of our lives as we seek you. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of scripture that I've read to us tonight, there's really a prelude or that we can discuss that's prior to that that's important. And the setting of this would have been the fact that Jesus was 12 years of age at this time. And I want to make an emphasis of the fact that he was 12 years of age. And some are going to say, oh, well, he was the Son of God. Well, yes, he was. But he was 100% man. He was 100% God. And with that thought being said tonight, here it was. It was Passover time. It was the custom that they would go to Jerusalem for Passover every year. And his parents had taken him, I'm sure, from the time that he was born. And now at least he's observed at least 12 Passovers, maybe 13 if we count the one where he may have been in Mary's womb. But there again, we find that something happens that a few days pass, a couple days pass, and they realize that Jesus is not in the midst as they have headed out of Jerusalem and on their way back to Nazareth. And we find that they don't find him. And I think what's interesting about this passage of scripture, it would have been logical for Mary to have thought maybe, well, Jesus was with Joseph because the men may be mingling together in the journey together, and vice versa, him being on the cusp of that of becoming a man and his bar mitzvah coming. And we understand how that Jesus could have been with his mother, could have been with his dad. But we find him back at the temple, and he was ministering and he was talking to the doctors, and they were really amazed at what was going on. And with all that said tonight, I want to say it's not about how people are amazed at who we are or what we know or how we even present ourselves. But the most important thing is that what ought to get people's attention is the anointing of God on our lives, and the very fact that when we're ministered to them, it's not who we are, but it's who Jesus is. And as I look at this passage of scripture tonight, or this evening, I want us to think about what's being said here. And of course, it's talking about Jesus, and it says Jesus increased. But I want you to think about how that we can make this a personal thing for us, how that we need to increase. And we need to realize that it talks about in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So real briefly as I can be tonight, I want to say that there's four things that I think we need to consider. And two of them are, well, all of them are important. But in perspective of who Jesus was and who we're to be as followers of him, I believe that we ought to always desire to increase in wisdom. And I believe a basic thought that we could say tonight about wisdom is how that when we have wisdom or we're seeking wisdom, that we need to realize that it's knowing how to use the knowledge that we have and what we've learned or what truth we have. And I would just encourage anyone tonight that if you feel like that you don't have wisdom or you need wisdom tonight, that's one of the things that God is very generous with. And He's even told us through His half-brother James there in the first chapter of James and verse number 5. He says, if any man lack wisdom, if you have not wisdom or you need wisdom tonight, it says to ask of God, which giveth liberally. That means He's willing to give it in abundance tonight. And I'll be honest with you, there's times that I'll be, I'm not the most tech whiz tonight, and when it comes to electronics and things and some things, and I'll just find myself sometime and I'll just say, Lord, I need some wisdom right now. And I'm just amazed sometimes as I begin just to back off from it, and I've just made that statement, Lord, I need some wisdom here. I need to know what to do with what if I do know, and if I don't know, give me wisdom to go find what I need to know about it. And the next thing I'll know, I'll just back off from it and just get peaceful about it. Because, you know, you can stress when you can't get something done, you know. And so then the next thing I know, it's just like it falls in place. It's just like a piece of puzzle. You find the piece of puzzle and it just comes together. And that's what God wants for us. But I think there's something greater here. And we don't have the time tonight. But even in the fact of us being believers and being Spirit-filled or designed to be filled with the Spirit, growing in the Spirit, we need to realize that there's even the gift of wisdom. So there's just the fact that we need wisdom, but then there's the giftings and of that of wisdom and knowledge. And we could go on with the list there that the Apostle Paul lists us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I want us to realize tonight that just in the fact of even in the natural, we need wisdom. We need it in the spiritual. Also, it says in stature. And as I began to study that part of this, I thought what was interesting, because Jesus was 12 years of age. And I don't know about you, but we can think about some of us tonight that are much older, and maybe we're 3 or 4. I'll stop there. 3 or 4 times 12. I'm a little bit more than that. But anyway, we can think back maybe when we were 12 years of age, what was going on in our lives, and maybe how tall we were and how big we were, or we was the run of the family or whatever. But there again, it's talking about in the natural there and stature. But what I found was interesting in that word was the fact that it's not only talking about our height or our weight or whatever, our complexion, or we got freckles or blue eyes or whatever. It's also talking about in the stature being that of time. And I think that's important, because see, what's important right now is to realize that even Jesus Himself needed to grow in wisdom and stature and grow older and to get higher or taller and mature in the natural. We know that He was the Son of God. And we realize in the natural that's what took place with Jesus. And we don't know what took place in these 18 years prior to this, because it's believed in historical facts that probably more than likely that His daddy, His earthly daddy, Joseph, passed away. He took on the talents of that of working with his daddy Joseph and being talented with that of stone and possibly wood and being a carpenter. But yet we understand that he probably took the lead to take care of his mother in those 18 years. But we realize by the time that he turned 30, we realize that being the Son of God is one thing, but in the natural he still needed the anointing of God. And one of the first things that we see him in even increasing in the natural growth, but yet when it comes to the time of being 30 years of age, he's there in the river and John's going to baptize him, and the Spirit of the living God ascends. It is that of the endowment of the Holy Ghost, even upon that of the natural that Jesus was, because he was fixing to enter in to those 3.5 years of the ultimate time of ministry. Oh, but what he knew even at the age of 12 in the natural, and yes, he was God, but what he knew and what he even spoke to those doctors is amazing. But today I want us to realize that it's not about who we are, what we know, or how much education we have, because all those things are important. But the greatest thing about it is, if those things are not anointed, if those things are not growing in that of the wisdom of God and that of the empowering, the anointing of God, we will realize there's going to be issues that God is not going to be able to effectively maybe minister in our own lives or other lives today. And then this passage of scripture goes on to say, in favor with God and man. Now there's two aspects of this. It says with God and man. Now there's a couple things here, or a few things I'd like to say in reference to this. And it may sound negative, but yet I want to be positive with it. But I want to place the balance as much as possible. What I want us to realize is that we ourselves have nothing in ourselves. Thank God for the favor. Thank God for the favor, because that's talking about not only just gratitude, but it's talking about graciousness. And thank God that God has showed favor to us. He has showed favor to mankind. He showed favor to mankind by sending His Son, that we could have a redemptive work. Jesus could die on the cross. Jesus would resurrect from the dead. His blood would be shed, that we can be repurchased, or we can be purchased back into the family of God. Thank God for that. That's God's favor tonight. But also, we need to realize that we have the favor of God as we will step out to mature and to grow in God. Because even Paul exhorted Timothy, and Timothy, I believe, would have felt this way in that of 1 Timothy, I believe it is, in about chapter 1 and maybe verse 12, I can't remember, or either verse 17. You can look at it. I didn't write it down. But anyway, the statement is, I'm thankful that God called me or enabled me, equipped me to be in the ministry. So what that means right there is, it's not about the fact that we are who we are, what our titles are, or our endowments, or our accolades, but what it means is what God has done. God showed favor because God had a purpose when He called the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was a murderer. The Apostle Paul was the doctor of doctors. He was the lawyer of lawyers. He knew the Old Testament, but he was a murderer. He was a sinner. He was one that needed the grace of God, just as me and you need the grace of God. And we need that endowment of God's favor, even in the area of our growth and our ministry and how we minister to others. And then this is where it may sound a little controversy, or we have to find the balance. It says that he found favor in that of God and man. Now I want you to look at this, because we find when Jesus stepped out into ministry, well, first of all, let's go back to the age 12. He was amazing doctors. He was amazing those of the temple. He was amazing those of the priest. He was amazing them. So there was a favor that was already established there. And then as Jesus stepped into ministry, at least the first year and a half of his ministry, there was favor. There was the favor of the people. There were people that were beginning to flock to him. We know there was at least that of 5,000 that he fed, and some of them I'm sure maybe he reached, and plus children and parents or whatever, or families, and then the 4,000, and then those that followed Jesus, and the multitudes. But we find that there during the period of his ministry, there were those that fell out with Jesus, even his disciples. When you get to the 6th chapter of the book of John, we find that there was those that turned away from Jesus that were supposed to be his disciples. Maybe not his 12, but we find there were those that were others' disciples that did not follow him anymore after the 6th chapter of the book of John. And that was after he had fed the 5,000, and we find that he had talked to them there about the blood and the bread and them taking of him. And we find that there was this controversy, and Jesus confronts his 12, and we see how that they take and the questions asked. And of course Simon Peter comes to the forefront, and he declares that there's no other, no one else to go to, and he declares who Christ is. But we find here how that there was those now that were not being favorable to Jesus. They were not being favorable to his ministry. And there's where the negative or maybe the balance here has to be, because it says in favor with God and man. And listen, I just want to say something. There ought to be a favor. There ought to be a favor of man. But let me say it like this. What that means is that people will see and they will acknowledge what God has worked in us. Amen. But yet, don't be dismayed. There are going to be those that are not going to find favor in you. There's going to be those that are going to be negative. There's going to be those that are going to try to stop. Amen. But let me tell you, if God has favor with you and God has called you, God has saved you, that's what's important, whether there's the favor of man. Amen. But yet there again, we ought to seek and we ought to step in. We ought to step into those places that God gives us favor. At times we might be amazed where God is opening a door of favor that may be that is difficult to walk into. It would be difficult to walk into. It might be in that of something the government says. It might be even in the church. And I'm going to tell you, now listen, I'm going to be careful. I don't want to get critical. But there is churches out here and movements today. They're not going to give you the favor. Listen, but if you know that you're in the favor of God and you're standing in accordance to this word, stand on it and walk in the favor of God. If everybody's against you, it's better to stand alone and stand with God than to stand with those that will not be in favor because they're not in favor with God. Yeah. You say you sound like you're a little excited. Yes, I am. I want to be in the favor of God. I want to have favor with God. I want to have favor with others. But I want to be sure. I want to be sure that tonight, if you're listening to this by social media tonight, right now, it's in the evening here in Germantown, North Carolina, or wherever you're at in the world, or later time, I want you to be growing in that of God tonight. And I'm going to tell you right now, one of the places that you're going to start in your relationship or it to improve and to grow is when you take this word and you begin to read it, and then you go from reading it, you study it. And not only that, you begin to keep it. Listen, you can read and you can know, but until you start keeping it. Keeping it means that you begin to do it. Amen? Amen? We're not to only be a hearer of the word, but we're to be a doer of the word. I hope this has been helpful to somebody tonight. God bless you. God bless you.